Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Podcast mode, ready to engage. Listeners, online. Sound turned up. It's really the word engaging that helps it sound like a robot. Other than that, it's just me eating Cheez-Its.
I don't know. Robots don't really say that.
Audio session, anal expansion on the horizon. Welcome to another episode of Ask Eliza Anything, the podcast where you give me a lot of context about your nursing job and your family, and I tell you what I think you should do on the weekends.
Yeah.
That's what this is becoming. Everyone's a nurse.
A lot of great nurses. I guess they have a lot of time for listening to podcasts. Not a lot of time. They're very busy.
Emily's like, gotta put a positive spin on this. Shout out to all the great nurses out there, especially all the ones in the oncology ward at UCLA, who helped us out last week when Emily blew open the crotch of her jeans.
You scared me there.
Keeping the theme from last week's episode where people were talking about getting super horned up, listening to Scott's hot voice, it's time for Hot Toddy. I'll sing again.
No.
What?
Hot Scotty.
Hot Scotty. And it goes.
Hot Scotty number one, Hot Scotty. Hot Scotty number two, Hot Scotty.
Let's hear the sentence, Scott.
All right, here we go. Is this real cheddar? I haven't started reading it. That was a genuine question. I have a block of cheese I'm working through out here. Of dubious origin. Okay.
Start over so everyone gets super wet.
Okay, here we go.
So all the dudes get super wet.
Is this real cheddar? You know, baby. Cheddar. It's a country in England. County. It's a county in England.
I knew you were going to fuck that up. I even wrote with no R.
This is a little hamster writing, though. Very curvy.
Don't shame our receptionist.
See you.
Take me there. Cheddar, UK. All the way!
Whoa. Crack. All right. Cool. Really cool how you went super aggressive there at the end. Aggression that no one asked for. I just love the, is this real cheddar?
We'll cut it down to that. We'll pare it back.
Yeah, why don't you edit that down? Let's get to the questions that make your world go round and make your squirrel go sound. Time to do it. It's real cheddar.
Okay.
Cheddar talk.
A few months ago, my husband started a new job. This job was for better hours and upward movement. We are excited to have weekends off together and spend time as a family more. All good things, right?
No.
Well, this job is physically demanding. It's welding. So he is completely shot when he gets home. Last night, he asked me about a bad situation that happened to me at work. We were both in bed, exhausted.
Keep it clean.
We have two little girls.
What's ages happening three to you? Are you having a stroke? You're just, like, slowing down.
You're reading like me.
Do you need me to read
okay,
this?
No, I just figured out what's happening. It was nice that he asked about my day, and I needed to get what happened off my chest. I started to tell him about it, and he fell asleep mid-conversation. He full-on started snoring. I was pissed. I was ready to sleep, which is not an easy thing for me. He got me riled up to talk about my day and pass the hell out on me. This is just one example of his constant tiredness. Look, I get it. He works hard and provides for his family, but so do I. How do I address his constant sleepiness? I'd rather he went back to the old job at this point.
That's a tough one. I feel like men, like when he talks about this, men get super tired so fast. Like, we get in bed, and I always want to play word games, which to the average person, they're like, I'm my mind's awake, it's racing, and I'm like, gotta go nine-nine. I think also women, just because we're such verbal creatures, like, we want to talk, and now it's intimate time, and it's quiet, and I want to, and men just aren't wired like that. My husband is not the first man that I've been with that just passes out. Like, at night or on a couch, which is the time your circadian rhythm is right. Like, that's normal. You should be. I think you're actually a little offended. This poor guy. I know we're like, oh, it's great that he's working hard. I get it. But he's just so tired. So either carve out 30 minutes before or after dinner.
Probably before.
Before. Maybe, like, have a glass of wine. He could, I don't know, you know, or he can be with you in the kitchen just sitting there and kind of catch up, because you don't want to just live to work. You want to connect with each other. But if he's as exhausted as he sounds, and it really sounds like that's the only way to be, if it's not going to, you got to carve it out. Yeah. That's what I say. That being said, people always ask me, how do you carve out working out when you have a really busy job? And I'm always like, what's the big deal? Carve it out. And now that I'm in this writer's room, I get home and I'm like, I don't know how people do it. I can't work out. Yeah. I just got to gain the weight because I'm so fucking tired.
Yeah.
So don't be mad at him. And I'm sure once you say it to him, he'll be like, babe, I'm just so tired. Carve it out.
I get why this particular instance was frustrating, because she was, like, tired, and she was like, oh, ready to go talk about it.
Sure.
You know, so I think you just both have to recognize that that is not going to be a time where you can have a conversation.
By the way, like, I think it's very easy to be like, he obviously doesn't care. I think at the root of it for a lot of women, like, we're like, oh, you don't care about my day. I work really hard, too. Mm-hmm. It isn't that. It's just really hard to pay attention when you don't care. No, it's just really hard to pay attention. We've all been there. Have you ever fallen asleep on the phone with someone, like in high school on the phone?
Yeah.
It just gets you. Sometimes you just got to close your eyes, and I think men are more susceptible to just falling, like, conking out.
Well, don't forget, too, he's basically shaking hands with the sun all day.
Yeah, the sun will...
I mean, welding, it's just straight UV. Like, you'll sunburn yourself if you're not covered.
And think about how tired you are after a day at the beach. Like, the sun takes it out of you. UV rays do. So you got to talk to him about it. So it doesn't take anything away from how busy you are and your rage. But, you know, and I know you have two little girls, so maybe you just hand them some sort of device, like an iPad or something.
A live child.
Give them, so I don't have kids, so I can't fully appreciate that. But for the sake of your marriage, put it first and carve out that time.
Yeah, you just definitely need to have a time period where you're not in bed.
Or even I think it's the bed that's doing, maybe it's the half hour of getting ready. Like, you tell your kids, like, you cannot knock on the door. And then you just never have sex again. But
yeah,
I don't
brush your teeth and be like, what up?
I make my husband come into the bathroom when I'm doing face stuff so I'm not alone. And he just talks. Sometimes he just has a glass of wine while I take a bath, which I appreciate. You probably don't have the luxury of doing because you're exhausted and you have two children. Maybe. Call
him in. Have you used that new bath yet?
Yeah. Oh. When you're taking... No one needs to know that. I use it for my muscles because they always hurt. Maybe when you're taking a dump, be like, just come outside and talk to me. Through the door. Through the door when you're dumping.
But you're a bathroom talker. Not everybody is.
I was just kidding. Don't actually, like, be, like, dropping off turds. And be like,
I mean,
you'll do a
phone call on the toilet.
No, I won't. What are you doing? No, I won't. When have I ever done a phone call on the toilet? Yeah, let's hear this.
I'll talk to people when you're peeing.
Yeah, everybody does that.
Yeah. That's so I'm just saying that I will not.
I'm talking about taking a dump.
Oh, okay.
Which
I'm
you
sorry.
Just did on the momentum of this.
I'm sorry.
Oh, by the way, how's your bath? It's real personal. No one needs to know. I didn't buy a bath. It came with that.
No, I just really suddenly was like, oh, because the old one, I just was genuinely curious and I couldn't hold it.
Here's the fun thing about baths. All girls are like, oh, my bath, self-care. When you get a bath, you don't take as many baths as you think you will. And we live in California, so it's really hot and it's a waste of water. So I will do it if my body's really aching, like after a weekend of shows.
Yeah.
Call my 36-year-old decrepit body.
My bathroom, my bath is just another playground for my cat.
Just a saucer of milk. Come on, Gracie. Come into my bath.
She used to get in the shower with me at my old place.
Okay, moving on.
But she won't get in this place.
Away from irrelevant facts about time periods. No one knew you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It happened to me. I didn't think it would, but it happened to me. I had a nasty bout of postpartum depression. Now, there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about what you're dealing with, and there's nothing to be ashamed about in talking about it with someone. I definitely saw a therapist these last couple weeks because, you know, I spend my time giving advice to others, but I could use a little advice myself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I'll tell you what, when you're already stressed or anxious, the last thing you want to do is battle traffic and sit in a waiting room and get your parking validated. I'm sorry, is that just an LA thing? You don't need to add all that. You can just sit in the comfort of your own home or a chair you like outside, and you can talk to someone from BetterHelp. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time. No additional charge, and it doesn't hurt their feelings. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Eliza today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Eliza.
I'm busy, and this time of year gets even busier. I've had my baby, I'm back to work, I'm at meetings, I'm on tour, I'm running around, and I don't always have time to sit down for a meal with my family. Sometimes I get home from set so late and I just need to eat something nutritious and go to bed. And that's why I like Factor's fresh, never frozen meals, because they're dietitian approved and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy I am, and I'm busy, I always have time to get a nutritious, great tasting meal. Factor has over 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so I never get bored. I'm trying to do less meat in general, and they have wonderful vegan and veggie options. I just made a vegan mushroom marsala, and I made an onion risotto. Just because you're eating vegetarian doesn't mean you can't eat deliciously. It had roasted garlic green beans. It was scrumptious. Head to factormeals.com/Eliza50 and use code Eliza50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code Eliza50 at factormeals.com/Eliza50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Well, it's finally happening. The weather is finally getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to the jackets and cozy sweaters we've been hibernating in all winter. And it's time to say hello,
bonjour,
to shorts and t-shirts. And if you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. I talk about Quince a lot because I really believe in a sustainable capsule wardrobe. And there's no reason you can't have a sustainable, timeless wardrobe for every season. And Quince has got you covered with premium linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, hello. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Dressing well shouldn't break the bank. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Look well. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Eliza for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Eliza to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Eliza.
Currently listening to Bad Donuts as loud as I can stand. That's an episode of the podcast.
Yeah, I know. I was
telling
there.
The listeners.
Okay, sorry.
To drown out my fairy seatmate snoring. How is it fair that people who snore like a fucking bear conk out like a little baby? It just isn't right. I have such a hard time falling asleep on the ferry because I have a hard time getting comfortable and having to hear people make awful sounds. Snorers, people that listen to music loudly enough for their neighbor to hear it, people talking loudly when clearly everyone around them are either sleeping or having a quiet ride. How do I get these people to have some consideration for their neighbors on a 6:20 ferry commute?
You can't. I also think isn't it so weird that some people take a ferry to work? Like, isn't that it's like taking
crazy.
A plane to work?
Yeah.
Get yourself a pair of Bose noise-canceling headphones. They will always be $300. They are not cheap, but they will block out the surrounding noise. There's nothing you can do. That's a different batch of people all the time.
Ugh.
Yeah, people pass out. They snore. There's a special place in hell reserved for people who listen to music so loud that it leaks out or just watch and
just
listen to things without
it.
Headphones.
Loose.
You're a bad person. And we all know about the time I confronted a lady on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you need to get headphones. She goes, do you have headphones for me? And I did a deliberate weird accent so that no one could be like, that's my accent.
Yeah.
She was a fucking bitch. I hate people that are inconsiderate in a social situation and they make it like it's your, like you're the only one bothered by this. So.
And they're the kind of people that are not going to change if you ask them to. Like,
they will
not
think it's so rude that you ask.
Yes.
You got to just do whatever
noise
you can to change.
I bought headphones for my home to watch my TV with because my neighbor claims he is deaf and watches TV so, so, so loud at all hours and pretends he can't hear me when I ask him to stop. And
does
so
he
I
not
just
understand the definition of deaf?
He's like, I'm mostly deaf, so I can't hear it, so I have to turn it up. And I was like, what? He had it on until like 3 a.m. once, and I texted him like, hey, man. Yeah. And he was like, oh, sorry, it's only 12 now. Because he texted me the next day. I was like, he's just being deliberately terrible about it. So I bought headphones that I put in to watch TV so that I can hear my own TV
not everybody
in my own home.
Is as considered as Emily. Also, I suggest you go to Circuit Boxes, go downstairs, you find the one
what it connects
that goes to his shitty apartment. You snip that shit.
If I was going to murder someone, it would be him.
Okay, I'll hold you to that. Because at the end of the month, when you get your bonus, I'm like, I also need you to pick someone to purge.
To murder.
Yeah.
One day.
That's my answer. You can't. People will always be rude. Yep. I was thinking about when people litter. I'm like, there's no nice way to be like, excuse me, you shouldn't be texting and driving.
Right.
Or people are like, wow. Hey, I was raised this way. I'm born.
Right. Or like I would get the, like I would tell another person that lived in my building and she'd be like, you know, when you live in an apartment, you got to hear other people's noises. And I'm like, actually, no, because when I moved into my first apartment by myself.
Never seen baby arm this angry.
And my TV was right next to the window, which was right next to another apartment. I turned it on to the volume that I usually listen to it at. And then I went outside and I was like, can I hear it? No. Okay. I mean, and I put subtitles on.
First of all,
so it's not too loud. All
right.
Everybody else is terrible.
Whoa. First of all, never talk over me again. Second of all, you need to take it easy for one of your eyes pops out. Third of all, your baby arm
what
looks strong.
One was hanging out.
I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. Fourth of all, that woman needs to be inconvenienced. And then you'd be like, I have one saved up for that La Bruja, which lives next door. I'm waiting for her one day to ask me a favor. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to stare right back at her and be like, what do you want me to do? Just like she said to me on move-in day. Fucking bitch.
Oh, boy.
And I never use that term,
you're
but she
to
was.
Go.
It's all I think about. Is just cage fighting my neighbors, live and help. Next question.
Eliza.
We're all just sweating.
Eliza, my wife loves the Real Housewives shows. She calls them her trash TV time. I think the shows normalize and desensitize us to garbage behavior. Our current president's most successful career was as a reality television star, just saying. I won't tell my wife what she can or can't do, but as someone who watches some reality TV, how do you feel about it? Part two.
Okay.
Do you want to do that, and then we'll do part two?
Sure.
Okay, so...
Wait, no, I'll do part one first.
Yes.
Let me say this. When that franchise first came out, and by the way, they are not lone offenders. There's so much. Most of TLC is garbage TV. And that's a different network. I'm just saying there's so much garbage TV.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah,
basically
yeah.
A lot of it is like sideshows. They're like, look at this weird person and we're pretending it's like a biopic that we care about them, but really, they have weird feet. So, but there's a lot of trash TV out there. Most TV is trash. I remember watching, I get you do, but just stop heavy breathing. I watched Real Housewives when it first came out. I watched it for a couple years. I also, this is how long ago it was, watched like Rock of Love. And it was like at the height of like dating shows, Flavor of Love, Flavor of Rock, like all that stuff. Flavor but honestly, rock. My soul started to hurt. And I really, as a person who, you know, is on a quest to better myself, I was like, I'm not getting anything from this. This isn't great dialogue. I'm not learning anything. And their behavior is so unacceptable. I really don't think it's a good look for women. So I, years ago, just opted out of watching it. Fun fact, if I watched an episode today, it would pick right back up where we left off because it's always just people angry about an edited side eye. So you can't, I mean, what's your question?
Well, so it sounds
how do I
like
feel
this
about
person.
It? I feel like it's Garbo.
Yeah, but it's like this is pretty judgmental of his wife watching these shows.
Let me
as
say this.
Someone
hold
who
on.
Likes them.
Hold on. I don't know what kind of, like, dude stuff you watch. Like, you might be watching, like, a post-game wrap-up on, like, an aux cable channel. I don't know. You know, so just because I think we're very quick in our society when it's something men don't do, oh, it's stupid because women do it. But, you know, you have fantasy football, fantasy baseball. Like, there's plenty of dude things that women, by and large, don't participate in. So it's kind of not fair to write off her entertainment as that. If it really bothers you, maybe you guys should pick a show instead that you both love to watch. Pick a show you can binge, something like The Daily Show or just something where maybe it's a little bit more informative. I would be reticent to admonish her before I knew anything about – I don't know what you watch because you might be watching male garbage. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're sitting there and you're only watching the news and like National Geographic, then you have a stool to stand on. So there's that. But I think it's garbage, and I don't think it helps us grow. I think it just makes us shame these other women who are acting like garbage, and we love it, so they just keep acting like that.
Hmm. Okay, part two.
Blown out crotch.
My wife, a badass litigator whom I adore.
Same guy, by the way.
Same guy. Also privately threw some shade at a business school classmate of mine for having breast implants. I said it's hypocritical since she follows / watches these Real Housewives shows who are plastic AF. What do you say, hypocritical or just talking about women like they do on the shows?
I don't think it matters.
These women aren't her friend. Like, just because she watches people with fake breasts doesn't mean...
Yeah, that has nothing to do with anything. It isn't like she has breast implants. That being said, you know, I had a nose job when I was 18, and I look at girls with bad nose jobs, and I'm always like, ugh. I would never say anything to the person. Right. Nobody ever, you know, seldom are they, I got a bad nose job, and I love it. Also, like, no one's perfect. You seem to be holding your wife to these, like, really high standards. Like, I don't know, are you the king of Spain? Like, what are these, where are these coming from? Did you marry her when you were both getting your doctorate, and then she's just got down a real whole... Also, like, sometimes people, if you're saying she's a litigator, mm-hmm. she probably just needs to, like, mentally unwind. Like, I have, like, several jobs, and sometimes I won't even turn the TV on. I'll just stare. On a plane, like, I just stare at the back of the seat in front of me, and all I think is no one can get to me. Sometimes I can't even bring myself to read a book. Like, I just kind of do nothing. You need that time for that mental runoff. Even if you're the best feminist in the world, you're going to catch yourself saying some shitty things once in a while. So I wonder where this is coming from.
Yeah, let her live.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not getting it, by the way. If your wife's a litigator, she's not susceptible to, like, she's not impressionable.
She's not going to go, like, rip someone's weave off and be like, you didn't invite me to your dinner party.
I'm in a ball gown at a reunion eating chips and salsa. I feel like she's allowed to – you could be the best person in the world. I donate to women's causes all the time, and I'm still the first one to be like, that girl's a fucking bitch. Like, we're all human at the end of the day. The breast implant thing is completely irrelevant.
It is, but I mean, look, she doesn't need to judge this person, but if you can't judge someone, your husband, who can you judge them to?
Yeah, I don't know. Your wife sounds a little stressed out. So that's it. That's all.
Okay.
It's not hypocritical.
No.
It's not like she, like, does breast implants and then sees someone and she's like, look at that pig. So it's not like she litigates in favor of breast implants. And when she sees them, she's like, oh, what a mistake.
Litigates in favor of breast
implants. For big breast implant. For big breast.
Hi, Eliza and Emily. I'm from Prague and my boyfriend is from London.
Wait, can I just say that there should be a sound that we make every time I, like, cohesively nail a question, like, nailed
or
it.
A gavel dropping. I do that to myself all the time, like, ding, ding.
What, I like shing, because that's like a sword.
We can make that happen.
Okay. I won't do it all the time, though. I can't always shing.
Shing!
Precision. The Blade. You're listening to The Blade. 105.1, The Blade. 106.9, 69, The Blade. All right, go ahead.
I'm from Prague and my boyfriend is from London. We have a long distance relationship for a year already. We both travel a lot. He is a professional musician, but I'm in my 30s and want to settle. Been trying to find a job in London for the past 6 months, and it seems impossible. Brexit, I guess. And I won't survive in London without a job. We're both just peasants / music industry in the UK. It's a struggle, and Czech salaries are basically monopoly money outside of
Czech Republic. CZ.
I got an offer to transfer to Tampa, Florida, but he says it's not his.
What did you think CZ stood for? Like, outside of Comedy Zone.
No, I was like, is it Czechoslovakia?
It's Czech Republic.
Yeah. It's not his cup of tea, and he can't really move anywhere since his whole career is in the UK. What do you think we can do? I'm running out of ideas and thought your sharp and creative sense of the world could help. Love you. Hope you make it to Prague one day.
Me too. He's a professional musician, and you want to settle down.
She does not have money. She needs a job, but she can't get one.
He doesn't want to move to Tampa, where you can get a job. It might be like a shit or get off the pot kind of thing. Like, either one of you has to make the sacrifice. You've chosen a job that's very difficult, which is fine. So have I. The idea is like, oh, Tampa's just not a fit. It's like, does he love you? Like, at least give it a shot. Go somewhere where you can both work or build up money. but one of these things has to change because whatever you're doing now clearly isn't working.
Well, it says we have a long-distance relationship for a year already. Like, if you cannot survive in London, guess what? You got to keep that long distance going.
That's it. I mean, it is
what it is.
Maybe the most expensive city in the world.
Yeah.
And if he's not willing to move to Tampa, Florida, it might just not work out. I'm so sorry. I know it's, like, not the answer you want. But relationships involve sacrifice, and if you're both unwilling or can't, it just might not be in the cards. Also, right. Think about when you have a long-distance relationship, it's not real in that. And I'm not talking about, like, military families. I'm talking about, like, if you're dating someone and you don't live together, all the time you spend together is, like, vacation time. Mm-hmm. So you owe it to your relationship to try to be together in a city. And it doesn't sound like that's in the cards since no one's willing to make a sacrifice.
Yeah.
So that's it. Start downloading those dating apps, those check dating apps.
Check dating apps. All right. I'm 21 and I'm still a virgin. I know this isn't a big deal at all, and I don't necessarily hate it, but I also don't necessarily love it. The older I get, the scarier the idea of sex becomes, and I don't really know what to do. I've never dated, and that's because I've never been asked out. No one's ever liked me, as far as I know. I've only kissed two guys, and I suppose that's kind of fucked with my already fucked up self-confidence. I realize that having low self-confidence probably isn't helping my love life at all. I'm mixed race, white slash Bermudian, and I've grown up in a small town in Bermuda, BC.
Mm-hmm.
That's hella white and conservative, where I'm only ever seen as a color.
It's either British Columbia. It's just weird that she threw it out there.
And guys, probably British matter. Columbia.
Small town.
And guys out here never date outside their race, let alone someone like me who's light skin and curvy. At this point, I feel like I'll be single forever. What should I do?
Can you move?
Yeah.
Because there is something to, like, if you're talking about British Columbia, like, there's not a lot of black people there.
I bet it's British Columbia. Yeah,
yeah, I think it's British Columbia. So I don't know what you do for a living, you know. There are, it's not going to be as easy, and you're saying you're curvy, so you're not like the stereotypical type that's there. There are people that are into it, but it just sounds like you're just kind of frustrated. What should you do? You won't be single forever, but if you're putting out a vibe, because you just seem reticent and nervous about sex, listen to me. It's a big deal because you haven't had sex, but it's not this terrifying, painful thing. There's a reason, like, people give up everything for sex. You don't need to be focused right now on having sex. You need to be focused on, if anything, just meeting someone that you connect with. And if it's the right person for you, then they'll be like, that's cool that you're a virgin, like, whatever works for you. The older you get, the more difficult it's going to be, just because it's something that people tend to lose their virginity when they're younger. Maybe work on your confidence, because you seem pretty down in the dumps. Maybe you should move. It sounds like you would really benefit from being around other people of color.
Yeah.
I'm not saying go only to where black people are, but I am saying, like, a more diverse area. You know,
yeah.
I know you could go to Toronto or Montreal, even, I don't know where in
just
Vancouver.
Just somewhere less conservative even.
There's that. But, so there's that. You've got a lot of things working against you. It might be good to move somewhere where there's people more open-minded, more diversity. But it really sounds like before any of that, you really need to kind of get that chip off your shoulder. And work on your self-confidence, because there's something in there with the sex stuff. I think you're like, I've never had sex. No one's ever liked me. No one's ever gonna. You're kind of going down the spiral.
But two people kissed you.
So they liked you.
They liked you?
Yeah. It sounds like you just gotta get out of that small world.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big old world out there, and lots of room for curvy mixed ladies.
Yeah.
So that's it. It sounds like you're kind of stuck in a rut.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. Half white, half Bermudian, curvy woman.
Get out of that city. Or even just, like, go other places for, like, how far away is a big city?
Not far.
Expand the mileage on your apps.
Expand the old horizon, yeah. Yeah, be like, I'll date anyone in a 50,000-mile radius.
Not that far, but...
And maybe look into why your self-esteem is so low. And I'm not mixed race, and so I've never had that prejudice, and I'm not overweight, so I can't even begin to imagine what that feels like. But you got to set yourself up for success. So maybe you see a psychologist. Maybe you join a group where there's other people. And there are other people of color. You're not living in, like, Yellowknife. So it's a Canadian reference. So do what you can with what you have where you are. And then break out of there, sister. Next question. It's no secret that fast fashion and the demand for fashion in general is helping to wreck our planet. Well, introducing Nuuly.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. And they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy what you love. I gifted Nuuly to a friend whose daughter works in an office where you have to be presentable, and it's trendy. She gets to try out stuff. She always looks fresh at work. She always looks cute. And when she's done with it, which we usually are after wearing something for a while, she can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code ELIZA20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code ELIZA20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code ELIZA20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
When you ask someone what language they took in school, usually it's like with an eye roll. They're like, French. It's like, do you speak French? No, I don't use it. I feel like a lot of us had difficulties learning a language in school. Rosetta Stone is here to change that. It's available on desktop and it can be used as an app on your phone or your tablet. Rosetta Stone are trusted experts for more than 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with an intuitive process, and you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. That's right, you might even fool some locals into thinking you're one of them. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. I headed to Mexico City for a little vacation, and I used Rosetta Stone to brush up on my Spanish. Just a few things, few verbs that I knew I had forgotten, and I was better. Mejor. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Ask Eliza Anything listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/Eliza. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/Eliza today.
Okay, so you've said often that if you're not enjoying your single time, it's likely that you're doing everything in your power to not be single and that people should enjoy their singleness. But honestly, I'm pretty...
Look at your hand. Okay, listen.
Oh. But honestly, I'm pretty tired of being single and want someone to share my life with. I have two college degrees, a fantastic full-time job, my own home, car, etc. I've accomplished everything I've been working toward and will continue toward my goal of being debt-free. My question is, after a string of unsuccessful, short-lived relationships, what should I be doing to give myself the best chance of finding a life partner? I want some freaking babies.
Totally fair.
Thank you.
By the way, like when you said that I said you, that if you're not enjoying your single time, it's likely that you're doing everything in your power to not be single.
Yeah.
It's just like this ebb and flow of being single. Some people get so obsessed with the fact that they're single and they don't like rest that puss. And but I know the feeling. Every girl that's been single for an extended period of time or even a month, you know, it's like, I really want a boyfriend, especially the older you get. I totally get it. So you're not wrong. You should enjoy being single at times, but you should not be resigned to being single and be like, I love it so much. Fuck this. You have your life in order from what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the definition of insanity obviously is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So maybe it's a different dating app. Maybe it's going to activities that you would not normally go to. Obviously, you're there like hoping to meet a guy, but you can still have fun. I would look at your leisure activities. Are you going out with the same girls? Do your, you know, are all your friends married and they're not setting you up with people? Are you going, this is a big thing of mine, do you go to the same bars with the same people? I don't know where you live, but like change it up. Change up your patterns. Also, so no one can stalk you. But you got to put it out there. You know, like I didn't want to do a dating app. And the one that I did, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but like the one that I did, I went on a couple dates and then I met the guy that I married. And that's something that I didn't want to be on that dating app. So sometimes, you know, we have to recognize the difference between things that are just against, like, morally versus, like, I'm just uncomfortable because I don't know. I have friends that are like, I can't do dating apps. And I'm like, don't know what to tell you then. You also don't want to be the friend that complains about being single but, like, doesn't help herself. And you might have to kiss a bunch of frogs before you get, like, a full case of words. But, like, you've got to put yourself out there. You don't have to go, like, do a mud run. Like, if that's not who you are, although I'd love to do that. But putting yourself out there and the universe will reward that.
Yeah, fair.
You got your life together, which also some guys are threatened by it. But listen to me, girls, there are plenty of guys that are not. And whether it's going to different bars, hanging out with different friend group, and even asking your friends, do you know anyone? A lot of times our friends don't think to set us up, especially from what it sounds like you seem like a strong girl. They're probably like, oh, Chelsea's got it figured out. And then you say, hey, do you know anyone? They're like, oh, you know what? My cousin Rex. He's pretty fucking hot.
Oh.
So be bold. Go forward. Get those babies.
Hi, Baby Arm. Thanks for screening through all these questions. First off, hi, Scott. As a musician, thank you for being a great sound guy because I know artists are a pain. Eliza, thanks. You often bring up the fact that you are a better friend to your friends than they are to you. How do you rationalize remaining friends with people that do not appreciate you as much as you appreciate them? We have some examples here, okay? Of this person. I've planned numerous birthday celebrations, adjusted my schedule to take someone to the airport because traveling is a pain, made breakfast for a hungover roommate before I had to work after he came back shit-faced the night before, driven 5 hours to pick up a table because, to me, a real friend will do that. This may be juvenile or jaded, but I know that if I need help, I don't have the same support that I am willing to and have given. I'm not suggesting I need the support.
That's the end of the question. Well, do you or don't you? It's clearly bothering you. So while you may not need it, and they also may not need it, you might need to be just a little bit more selfish with your time. He's a grown fucking man. He can make his own breakfast. I don't know if you're a girl, but if you are, women tend to baby men. It could be a dude making breakfast when she gets a little weird.
Man.
Think so?
I just assumed.
How do you rationalize remaining friends? You don't. I'm sorry. People will take as long as you're giving. And if you, but you also might, they might not have a chance. Sometimes when you're strong and you do everything for yourself, like you just said, I don't need the support, people don't think to do it. Mm-hmm. And I've also said this before, sometimes you don't give people a chance to do something for you because you're always engaging. You're always planning this. You're always doing that. I'm one of those people, I'm a natural giver. It's very easy for me. And every once in a while, I'm like, oh, that'd be nice if they give it back. But ask yourself, do you want it back or are you just offended that they didn't ask? Because there also might be times where they are asking and you're refusing it. They're like, oh, I guess it's fine.
Yeah.
But if the person is continually selfish, you just pull back or you just stop giving as much and give them a chance to give or realize that it's an imbalanced friendship and it doesn't serve you. Take stock, Scott.
Right. I wonder if this is like all...
You also might be the friend that has it together and they just don't. And so you can, in which case maybe you've evolved out of your friend group.
Possibly.
Yep. Those are all my answers. I really honestly would rewind this podcast and re-listen to all that. Because those were like wisdom pearls and diamonds.
So the question of how do you rationalize remaining friends with people that don't appreciate you? You think
don't rationalize anything in your life. Just do it. I can have this cookie I worked out. Just do it. Don't rationalize it. And you know what? If you need to rationalize it, it's because I don't need it like that. But it sounds like you do.
Yeah.
Something's there. So fair. Decide. Don't say, I just want you to offer if you don't care.
I mean, I have this belief, like if somebody asked me for help, like I wouldn't ask
your
for help with
something.
Your friends
only ask you for help.
I know. But I wouldn't ask.
Because you know what a pain it is.
Right. And so I'm like, why would someone ask that? Like, it just is, which is not a great way to be. Like, I won't accept help because I'm like, ugh, like, why would you even ask for that?
You sound young. You sound like you're in your, like, early 20s because at a certain age, it's like, look, do you live in the middle of nowhere and you need, like, a 2-hour ride to a Nebraska airport?
Right.
These are, like, young things and you have roommates. So this is that time in your life. But you might have just evolved past all this and, you know, bring up if you have a favor that you need and they're like, I can't. You're like, really? Because I drove to the airport, and if you bring it up in a non-conversational way, they might be like, you know what, you're totally right.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't feel moved to be as good of a friend back because all they do is take, then maybe you have all passed it.
Yeah.
Making some hot jam toast for my hungover roommate.
Hi, Eliza. Do you really think people have the ability to permanently change, specifically boyfriends? I'm worried that changes will only be temporary. Do you have any experience with your husband in which he fixes something and didn't revert back to old habits? My boyfriend used to be a bit of a player, but since we've been together for 1.5 years, he's been very loyal. 1 year ago, I caught him texting a girl, but he said he, quote, didn't realize she was flirting. 1 few days ago, I saw he had sent a girl on Instagram a seemingly innocent message, and thank gosh she never responded. He says it's because he's depressed, but I've never heard of depression causing you to almost cheat. Should I give him a chance or let him go? What is that message? Like a seemingly innocent message, but thank gosh she didn't reply.
Yeah. Also, it's like, is he in the business? Like, I DM men about comedy stuff. My husband will DM with like other chefs or something like that. I don't know the context of it, but I have to be honest, it doesn't like it's work related.
Especially since he said he was depressed.
If he's saying he's depressed, it's not like people with depression can't love, but like that sounds like a cover up for other behavior. Yeah. He needs to address that. People can change. Every marriage, every relationship has things like, I wish you could do better on this. Okay, I will. But it sounds like you went into this knowing like he used to be that guy. Being flirty is okay, but it is inappropriate to be DMing other girls. Like it just is.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this is going to be something that bothers you even when he's not doing it. So I hate to say throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you don't deserve to be thinking about this. Like there are plenty of good guys out there. I never have to look at my husband's phone. No guy I've dated have I ever been like, let me see your phone. You don't need to live like that. So I would get rid of him because he sounds like he's just pushing your limits. And that's it. And it's not, by the way, it's not out of the realm of possibility that as a guy, he's dense and he's like, I didn't realize she was flirting. Fine. But then a couple days ago, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be dating you. Like maybe you owe it a frank discussion. Saying he's depressed, it sounds like a cop out.
I like this guy.
I was just thinking the same thing. Maybe you ask him, like, do you still want to be here? Non-confrontationally?
And you know what, say it and be like, because I kind of don't. And then he'll be like, oh, cool, because I was thinking the same thing. Because I think the natural thing
and
is
then
like,
burst
no.
into tears.
So have a come to Jesus, but this guy doesn't sound promising.
No.
No.
Hi, Eliza. I have recently moved from London to a rather remote part of the UK with my boyfriend as he got a dream job that he couldn't turn down. We have been together for just over 1.5 years. In our early 30s, we love each other but argue a lot. I am extremely sociable, whereas he is not, and although it was my choice to move here, I have left my whole life and all my friends to come here and support him, which I find he has forgotten. Recently, when we do have arguments, he has become very nasty and implies that I do certain things to, quote, plan an argument and be the victim. I am very straightforward, not afraid to stick up for myself, which I also feel he doesn't like. I realize the answer to this question is probably pretty obvious, but should I break up with him or wait to see? We only moved about 2 months ago. I do feel like he makes me doubt myself, and then I find myself snapping out of it and realizing that he is potentially emotionally abusive.
You do plan an argument to be the victim because you just said, I left my friends and family to come and support him, which he has forgotten. And by the way, that's not a wrong tactic. A lot of people do that. And you're saying these things. What you're really saying at the root of everything to him is like, I left everything for you, so you need to consider that every time. The truth is you gave him a gift and you should be so in love with each other that he's always remembering, hey, you did this for me and you never have to bring it up. It doesn't sound like you guys are a great match. Like it just doesn't. Also, I'm really not into like moving for a boyfriend. You're not even engaged. So I think you are frustrated that you did all this and you probably want to go out and do things and he doesn't want to do that. So it could be a great match if he seemed to respect you a little bit more. And you shouldn't be doubting yourself. It doesn't sound like you're having a rational thing. Like if my husband tells me I'm acting a certain way, I'm like, yeah, you're probably right because I don't really pay attention. This sounds like he's annoyed and he's like, look, you moved here, fucking deal with it. And you're like, I did move here, now you fucking deal with it.
Well, the fact that he makes her doubt herself and, you know, she thinks she's potentially emotionally abusive, whether he is or he isn't, that doesn't sound like a relationship you should be in.
At all.
If he's making you feel that way.
Yeah. And you can love each other and, you know, but if you move to a new town, it should be like, we're going out, we're doing stuff, like we're having fun, not he's at home playing Call of Duty and I want to go to a goat yoga class.
Right.
Not unless you're like married. So that doesn't sound like ideal. Sounds like you both have a lot left to say to each other.
Yeah.
Dear New Hampshire.
Or nothing left to say to each other.
Right. Whoa. Slam that British door. Shing. What'd you say? Schling?
Schling.
So it's the Jewish shing. Schling. Yeah. All right.
Hi, Eliza. I work in a museum, and after dealing with a toxic work environment for years, I've decided to leave once I find a new job and I plan on going back to school. My boss has been less than ideal, threatening my employment if I didn't make revenue goals. Kind of hard to do in my department when it was closed for renovations for 7 months.
Also, who makes revenue goals at a museum?
Right.
We're selling Mona Lisas.
Denying
selling children's tours of the gift shop. Like, what's the...
denying me professional development opportunities that are offered to everyone else, and accusing me of not giving 100% when I refuse to answer emails from her once I get home in the evening. There's a lot more, but I know your time is important. I've tried talking to her about it, and she'll be better for a couple weeks, and then it just goes downhill again. She sees going to HR as going behind her back. HR doesn't keep you anonymous. When I go through the exit interview, I want to be honest about why I'm leaving, but how do I do that effectively and without burning that bridge?
First of all, your boss has a power problem because HR is there for people like her. Because of people like her. She sounds frustrated, you know, to hound you. Like, that means that someone's breathing down her neck. Like, tell your minions to get their numbers up. And maybe she's not doing a great job and she's either a megalomaniac. My mother had a similar job, or she loved the job and it was like a charitable thing. And this woman was just on her all the time. And also, breathing down your neck does not make you want to work harder.
No.
And she's not respecting your boundaries. You be as professional. You don't owe this woman anything. And an exit interview gives a shit. If you're not going to get a letter of recommendation, which maybe you can get it from someone, you don't have to burn everything. You be it's your chance to critique this situation. You don't have to be rude. You can say, here are the transgressions and issues I've dealt with.
I don't know that there's much benefit to that.
There also might not be. I don't really know what people do with an exit interview if you're already leaving. It's not like they're holding your paycheck.
It's literally just like, hey, so what do you think?
I always say leaving like on fire is never going to be a cute look. If you really feel compelled for the good of a company that you like to say something, you can. And you could even tell her. Be like, I just want to let you know, here are the things that, you know.
Right.
But you really have to just see how you feel because I don't think an exit interview really matters unless you want to, like, stick it to this lady. But
right.
I don't think you'll see how you feel. I bet you wake up that day, you're like, I just want to get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it might not be worth it to have that difficult conversation when it's not even going to benefit you.
Mm-hmm. You may not be the kind of person that dreams of revenge or, like, going one-on-one in a ring with your elderly neighbor's help. Because she's like a bitch to you for no reason. So, you know, we're all made for
just tear off her bumper on the way out and have a nice day.
I saw a UPS truck knock into it the other day. Knocked her window off because she was parked wrong.
It happened.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I always fold mine in now. I'm scared.
We live up a donkey path.
Hi, I need your advice, please.
Okay.
I recently got a new job, same company, but different role, team, and boss. My new boss is great, but he keeps apologizing for swearing when I'm in the room. He looks at me and says, I'm sorry, I'm about to swear. Recently, he started abbreviating swear words. Yikes. Like, instead of big fucking deal, he said BFD. I'm the only woman on the team, and this makes me very uncomfortable that he can't swear in front of me, and he's setting this as an example in front of all my coworkers. I know his intentions are good, but I'm uncomfortable he treats me differently. I work in a corporate setting and have been with the company about 3 years, had many different bosses who used to swear, and none of them ever apologized for it, which is what I expect. What should I do?
Here's what you do. You ask him, you go into his office, you're like, can I speak to you? And in the nicest way, because he's trying to be nice, but he's actually marginalizing you in doing that, which I think a lot of people deal with when they're gay or of color or just something that's like different than whatever. So sometimes in people's efforts to do better, it actually like exacerbates the situation. And you point blank, in a very measured way, just say to him, like, I do the same job everyone else does. I really respect you. I like working for you. I don't know if you noticed that you don't curse in front of me and you treat it like I'm delicate. I am one of the guys and I'm here to party. I came to fuck. So you don't have to do that. And it's not like you're really angry about anything. I think he'd be like, okay. Because he's probably sitting there minding his P's and Q's. He's like, thank God. Thank fucking God because I got red rage. You owe it to your relationship to say something and sandwich it. Lead with how much you respect him and enjoy working with him. And I think that there's been a little bit of a handling here, and I'm not a delicate flower.
Yeah.
And I just want to do the job and be on the team. What?
I don't know. Your face. I kept expecting you to build up to something super gnarly right there.
Fuck you, Carl. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was like, why is Scott
smiling? Because you started getting real low.
Oh, I tend to do that before I
pounce. I thought you were hungering down to launch a big shot there.
And then if he says no, you'd be like, you fucking cocksucker. This is what it sounds like.
I'd be like, what's with BFD? You sound like a pussy, Carl.
Or, you know what you could do when he does it, then, sorry, that mic popped. Go, I'm sorry, just gonna stop the meeting. Like, what does BFD stand for? Like, my big fucking dick. You're like, cool, just wanted to check. Like, make him say it. Every time he does it, be like, I'm sorry, what does that stand for? I've got lady ears, so comprehend. Say something to him. He seems cool.
Yeah.
If he's cursing, he's cool.
Nice. Like, he just doesn't know what to do. So if you just set him straight, tell him.
You can even take him out for a drink and be like, I'm going to shoot this whiskey through my butthole. Show you I'm a fucking Bronco.
Wait, I just learned the word for that. If you put alcohol up your butt, I think it's called boofing.
Is it boofing?
Boofing or the traditional keistering. Everything's keistering. Anything goes up your butt's
keistering. In the Midwest, it's keistering.
If it's alcohol up there.
Yeah, boofing. Sure.
Is it the same from the same company that brought you alcohol-soaked tampons?
Yeah.
It's not up your butt.
Burn that vagina.
Okay. Hi, Eliza, Baby Arm, and Hot Sounding Scott.
Wow.
I
love that where that came from?
Yeah.
Oh, what's
that? All those episodes ago.
I mean, it comes up a lot. I love learning about the comedy industry, and your documentary gave such great insight.
Thank you.
My first question is for Baby Arm. I live in Atlanta and was wondering what your favorite place is to eat at. Eliza, where do you like to eat in Atlanta?
There's this restaurant on Peach Street.
There's 1,800 Peach Trees.
The airport. You like to eat at the Chinese place.
Go ahead and answer this very specific question for like one person.
All the ones I liked are closed, but my favorite place is Wahoo in Decatur. And they had an item on the menu that we get every year. We only go there for special occasions, like a birthday or whatever. And we go there every year the night before I fly back here. That's like our last dinner.
Okay, a little bit of food poisoning. I sleep the whole way.
And like 3 or 4 years ago, me and my mom get the same meal there every time. They didn't have it anymore and they had changed their menu. And my mom was like, what is happening? Why is this happening? And before that, they had swapped the mashed potatoes for something else. And my mom was like, this isn't cool. Like, she called over the waiters and was just like, no, you can't do this. And the next year, it got put back on the menu.
Do you think it was because of her complaint?
I think a lot of people honestly complained because they had the same menu of, like, 8 things for years and years and
it's
years.
It's not fish tacos?
No, it's not the chain. It's like just an independently Wahoo. Owned Wahoo in Decatur. Get the ahi tuna with the mashed potatoes. Well, they also they don't have, that's what I get. Right. But then they have like fried chicken and stuff.
Locally caught Decatur ahi tuna.
Decatur fishes.
Okay.
Decatur fishes. Okay. Second cue for Eliza. My friend's golden retriever passed away and she's devastated. Mm. What is your advice to help someone grieve? I want to help her as much as I can, but I feel bringing it up just makes her more sad. Last week, another friend straight up adopted a dog for her and gave it to her 3 weeks after her dog passed away. So obviously not that, because I thought that was really inappropriate. Any other solid advice? Thanks for saving that turtle. It'll be cool for you to show us what Scott looks like. Thanks.
Never.
No, we want to keep the mystery alive.
So she's got a new dog.
That's not okay. Never get someone a living gift.
Yeah.
Never do that ever.
I think it's really unhealthy, personally. I'm still, you know, thinking about Blanche. I still have some of the cards up from people. Everybody grieves differently. That being said, like, we are humans. We do have brains, and I don't think you can process the loss of, like, your soulmate in a couple weeks. I definitely know people that it's like, oh, my Sheltie died. Got to get a new Sheltie because I always get Shelties. I have multiple Shelties on a conveyor belt of Shelties.
How do you help them?
It doesn't sound like it's not up to you to help her. She's helping herself.
Well, I guess how do you be support? Like, would it make you feel better if someone was like, hey, checking in, how are you doing? Or should they just go business as usual?
Checking in is nice.
Okay.
I thought it was nice. And sometimes you want to answer, sometimes you don't. Sometimes people ask like innocuous questions like, how's it, you know, and you're like, well, the grieving process really does come in waves. It's analogous to a shipwreck. And I found that time really does heal. Like, whatever. It's so personal to everyone. Ask her what works for her. Straight up be like, I love you. I want you to be happy and healthy. I would love to check on you, but I don't want to bother you. Would it be okay if I sent you a text asking how you are?
Yeah.
Ask her. Just straight up ask her, because everybody wants things in different ways. You know, that's it. She's obviously already got this new dog, so whatever healing needed to be done ain't going to happen.
Yeah, that answer.
Yeah.
Or the answer is never buy someone a pet.
That's
never. To whatever the problem is.
But it sounds like this person is a really good friend and the kind of friend that could nicely be like, hey, what do you want me to do?
That's it. Have that talk with her.
Yeah.
But that open wound that got healed with Golden Retriever salve is going to heal gnarly. Like, there's still the soul of that other dog, like, in that open wound. Like, you haven't dealt with me yet. So you can paint over it all you want, but it's going to remain.
Yeah.
Lock up that closet, but that haunting will still be there. That's why I'm giving myself plenty of time. We're talking at least a year.
Yeah.
Which is appropriate for a woman like Blanche.
I think especially when it is like, you know, it's very different. Like when I lived with my family and a pet would die and it's like the family pet and we had three or four and it was devastating. But that's so different than this is who you've been with for 16 years. Whatever.
I also don't know. You could be the girl that's like, we always get golden retrievers. I breed them. I watch them fuck. I've got them. I sell them. So life's a journey and a circle. Next dog, please. So I don't know.
Right. Sounds Talk like. To her. Okay, dating advice after being ghosted by a guy you really liked.
Oof, ow, my ear. Oh, my ear piercings, I'm so cool. My ear piercings hurt so much. Ow.
Your upper ones?
Yeah.
Not the tragus,
no,
the...
No, my inner labia, double? Like that one that I got. No.
My ear fucking hurts. Are Tender.
What?
Are they new?
No. It's just this ear thing.
The lady at Claire's just botched it.
Never really heals, never fully heals. All right. Open wound, like your golden retriever open wound. You have to deal with your demons before they become demon dog.
After being ghosted by a guy you really like, dating advice.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's the whole question?
Yeah. What's your dating advice? After you get ghosted, what do you do?
Everybody gets ghosted. People Especially are raised now. With no emotions. Everybody gets ghosted. It does not mean the next person. If you date six dudes in a row that ghost you, then it's probably you. Everybody right. gets ghosted. You don't take it personally. He wasn't into you, and you don't want someone that's not into you. That's it. Next question.
Let's do top of the cob.
Come on, guys. Need more context.
Hit it. Does.
No, hit it.
It's the top of the cob. We're doing it right every day. You just take a bite. Top of the cob.
It's pretty easy. My top of the cob is a bird feeder that a fan gave me. They gave me a hummingbird feeder because I had said that I wanted one. And I immediately took it out of the packaging, and it had three options. You could hang it, you could suction it onto glass, or stick it in a ground, and I had a potter, so I stuck
it. Or throw it at your neighbor's car.
Throw it right at that fucking bitch.
Can I tell you, I knew that you had it, and so I went out onto your thing to make sure that, because I had done so much research when we were trying to figure out one to buy. I was like, oh, I hope she didn't suction it to something, because then a bird's going to hit the glass, because it's going for the feeder.
God,
but you put it in the thing.
I did.
Which is the safest option.
And I sat out there yesterday, and I watched all these hummingbirds.
They all are coming to
it? Yeah. The girl that gave it to me described it as, like, flying little jewels, and she's right. And although they could, like, be prettier. And they're coming to it, and I watched their little wings, and they're reticent to, like, and I... Like, I came out on the patio, and they were like, no. And then I sat out there, and I just watched one by one. They came by for, they were so parched. Stick your long beak. Sugar water.
Are you cooking up your own?
Just sugar water. I didn't cook it. I just put sugar in the water. They didn't say to cook it.
Okay, let's look into our.
Oh, my God. You have to cook it. There's Otherwise, you're going to poison the hummingbirds.
Shut up. That's not true.
Did you not flip the instructions over to the backside?
There were no instructions.
Oh, my God.
There were no instructions.
Oh, there's like nectar.
The disease spreads through the community fast.
The sugar, non-dissolved sugar disease?
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, fuck them.
Because when I was feeding...
I'm not cooking a...
Fluff of fair over.
A simple syrup. This isn't a bar.
Well, remember when I was feeding the one that we got, the one that we found, the injured one?
Yeah, you were like, should I breastfeed it? I'm like, no, it's a bird.
But he was also a baby, so it was like very specific what
you're supposed to do. They're all babies. How can you tell the difference between a baby hummingbird and a regular hummingbird?
They're different. You can tell.
So I love that. And I love seeing them like come to the patio. And although they'll never be dogs, it's nice to see that I've helped them. Yeah, my biggest fear is that a hawk comes in and scoops one up.
Well, so that was the other thing I was researching is how you set one up without a hawk. And I think because it is tucked in on the balcony that it's probably okay.
It's just
I thought
cool.
they had a treaty.
No, the hawk will come eat it.
A hawk's like, no game. No, we're backing out. So I really enjoyed that. That's my top of the cob is watching their little bodies flutter.
My top of the cob is when you, well, yeah, I'll do that. When you see a movie and everybody else loves it. Well, I have a different one. Okay. Do you want to hear my other one instead?
No. I mean, whatever
pivot?
You want. Whatever you want.
My top of the cob is Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, my God. You're the worst. Fine.
I pivoted to Gwyneth Paltrow, who I think is so funny.
You lunged at that Hollywood Reporter copy.
I saw her on it, and I was like, oh, what's she doing?
You went, is that Gwyneth? You Jeremy pivoted so fast. My bottom of the cob is when you go to a seemingly healthy restaurant, everything's very green and it's all about, like, you know, avocados and no oil. But all of the paper of the forks and knives and spoons and dishes and cups are plastic. This article came out about the, like, compostable quote unquote fiber molded bowls that like Chipotle uses in Sweetgreen. They're like, it's compostable.
Yeah.
And there's a cancer causing chemical that like doesn't even have a half-life. So you are in effect just poisoning the earth. And I'm sure to an extent those companies knew before they did it, but people felt good about it. I'm kind of over these companies that are like, it's healthy for you, but fuck the environment. Get a fucking dishwasher. Get a portable one. This idea, like, if you don't... why? Why is everything plastic? How can you, in good conscience, do this, raise a little bit more capital, and get a dishwasher? But I feel like shit when I go somewhere and it's healthy food, and they're like, here's your plastic. For eating in the restaurant, not even takeaway, here's an all-plastic everything. It really, it's such a selfish way to be, and... the ethos should be health in general, not just for you and fuck the planet you wrote in on. I look for, and I hope that you guys look for these things too. Like your avocado sun butter place down the street will give you a plastic fork and a plastic cup. And I just, if coffee houses make no money and they still serve you a for here cup that's ceramic.
You mean not, yeah, not plastic, because you said they'll give you a plastic fork and cup, but you can get a... ceramic.
If there's an option, you also have to, I'm saying like a coffee house has no money. They make like no money because people sit there all day and they still have ceramic glasses.
Yeah.
These restaurants need to figure it out because it's so fucking selfish and I will straight up not eat at a place or I'll just bring my own utensils, but it doesn't count for the bowl.
Yeah.
You are being selfish and like, oh, but I'm so healthy and good. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all in the garbage. And it's really difficult for restaurants to recycle because of like city ordinances and stuff and it's very expensive. So we got to let them know that like it's not cool. That's it. Me.
My bottom of cava.
Don't say Gwyneth Paltrow with a short haircut. Don't say Sliding Doors Gwyneth Paltrow.
I haven't seen that movie. I own it. Okay, it's on my list.
What?
My neck hurts. It's been hurting.
Does it hurt like mine or is it just like you slept weird?
No, it's been hurting for probably like a year. You know,
me too.
On and off. Right. I don't know.
What's going on with you guys?
I think it's just Jew tense.
Just sitting and
my jaw's always clenched.
Just I feel like, yeah. I mean, we sit and we're on our phones and we're on our computers and we're in the car so much.
Add it to the list of shit. That's why I try not to be on my phone as of today.
You know, as of today, but yeah, we're still gonna be in the car.
Guys, listen to me. Now is the time to make healthy choices for yourself and the planet. Hopefully, those two ethi coincide. Get it going because we are in fuego. So be kind.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com. Save big.